This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
It's mailbag time. Live in person here, Adam Azer, Jamie Eisenberg, and Dan Schneier. Very excited for this. Now, listen, if you're listening to the podcast right now on audio, got a lav mic on today. Don't have the pod mic, so audio not what it usually sounds like. I apologize for that. But the trade-off is the three of us get to be in the same room together and have a lot of fun. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we feeling?
Don't throw up on me. Don't throw up on me. If you throw up on me.
I'm certainly feeling a lot better than the Westin Marriott Hotel bathroom is feeling after last night's disaster. But I do want to say this. Adam, you are a great sport. I listened to some of the post-game show, and I do want to apologize for not being the most gracious at the end of the match. I think I'm just, generally speaking, an insane competitor, and I was really disappointed in myself personally with how I played last night. I didn't think and my brother obviously gave me a pep talk. I don't know if you knew this after the first set.
He called me up.
And he's saying, you're just not moving your feet and you're not hitting out with your backhand. You're just slicing. And I was very lazy. Now, do I think, Jamie, is there some part of me that thinks Adam purposely took me to that, we won't name the restaurant again, not to disparage them on another show, restaurant to kind of bloat me and put me in this position where I have bad indigestion and really I'm not moving my feet and I'm playing bad tennis? I don't know. That's something I'll have to think about for the rest of my life. But the reality is you played great and you earned the points you got. No, but you earned the games you got is more so what I meant. I didn't want to say I was just playing bad. I just was disappointed in my level of play.
All good. We'll do it.
I think you would have won.
I think
he would have won the second set and would have won the tiebreaker.
No,
I don't think so. All right, listen, let's get into some fantasy football here.
I know what you're trying to do, Jamie.
The match is behind us, but I will say I'm very motivated to get better. I just I'm going to win next year.
You'll be healthier next year.
Yeah, I will be. I was completely unaffected by that yesterday. Email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I. We have only one draftathon question in terms of donation, but we do have a lot of emails. Before we get into that, one player you're really into right now.
Jamie?
Into like half the draft.
Yeah.
Like what's the definition?
Just kind of feeling it right now. Moving them up your rankings, drafting them a lot, whatever it is.
I'm looking right now.
Because I'm going to tell you, you've inspired me to be really into DJ Moore.
We were just talking about that before the show. Jamie and I are higher than consensus on DJ Moore. I think that's one player for me, Jamie. One player that I'm going to put in here, don't think he's gotten any buzz this offseason. And Jacob and I just did a show on Beyond the Box Score. Shout out Beyond the Box Score. Who could be this year's JSN? Jacob had a whole list of guys, and I gave the Danometer ranking on all them. Oh, 9 point. It's the Danometer. If you listen to Beyond the Box Score, I give a little 1 through 10 ranking on if I think Jacob's accurate. And there's always decimals. If you don't use decimals, you're not ranking things right. But the player he forgot that I really think fits a possible JSN, and no one cares about, Nico Collins. And I said this before the injury to Jaden Higgins, but I still think it's true even after the injury, maybe even more so. If you look at the per route data for Nico Collins, the fact that he wins so consistently as that isolated X receiver, which a lot of guys can't do at the NFL level, and just, I think people are too down on CJ Stroud right now based on what they saw at the end of the season. I think he throws a good football and can hit those routes that Nico wins on, which is basically the entire route tree. So I think Nico is the guy I'm pretty high on right now, and I moved him all the way up to wide receiver 7 in my rankings. Ooh. Looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like when you go all in on someone like I kind of did last year with Nico Collins, and then he burns you with 120 targets in 15 games, only on pace for 136 targets last year. He's going to have to do more than that if he's going to be the JSN. But the reason I really liked him was there have been these stretches where like he's been healthy and he's been, you know, 19-ish points per game, like absolute superstar.
Right.
And I thought he was really capable of doing that. I'm trying to find the exact.
And that's the crux of my argument, too.
So like 2024 is why I liked him so much in 2025. He had two games where he played 18% or fewer of the snaps. This is why the Azer stats come in. You take those games out. What's his pace? It's 104 catches, 1,513 yards, 9 touchdowns, 156 targets. That's 18.2 points per game. I mean, that's like better than what I expect from CeeDee Lamb this year.
Right.
So I've seen these stretches for Nico Collins where he's been that good. Something was just off last year.
Well, he had the concussion, and I think that really did impact him.
Early in the year?
That early injury he had, like that Monday night game against Tampa or whatever it was, I really did think he never looked the same. He had another one. So maybe it was just the injury. Right. I don't know. But I mean, you can Azer stat anything. I already heard last night you were trying to Azer stat the second set of that match and claim a victory.
So I guess DJ Moore, I'm piggybacking off of you. I don't know if there's anyone else.
I'm just trying to think of something different because, you know, you say Devontae, you've heard me say Ken Walker, you've heard me say DJ Moore. Somebody recently, we just talked about this off the air as well. Stephon Diggs. I just drafted Stephon Diggs. I'm getting nervous about Terry McLaurin. We talked about this on the CBS Sports Network show. You brought this up about the tackle situation being what it is for the Commanders. That could lend itself to getting the ball out a little bit quicker for Jayden Daniels, and that's where Stephon Diggs is going to live. He's gotten off to a great start. Not that I would take Stephon Diggs over McLaurin, but it just makes me a little bit more concerned about McLaurin getting the passes downfield that he needs. I still think he leads them in targets and touchdowns, but I wonder if the catches somewhat are close between Diggs and McLaurin.
By the way, two shows today with you three gentlemen. With you two gentlemen, both times I got stuck with the last pick, middle seat. I don't know. I mean, it's a seniority thing. I understand. Jamie pulled that rank on me. Adam, I respect it as well. You're the host.
Let me ask you a question. Because we just did our CBS Sports Network show in the same exact seats, in the same exact room. I was oddly nervous.
I'm less nervous for this. It's the mailbag vibe. I'm completely fine. I think it's the laptop for me. I need this laptop in front of me. I didn't know what to do with my hands. There's all sorts of things going on.
I just want to bring, you know, with Stephon Diggs, no one really thinks of Stephon Diggs like Keenan Allen. They're very different much of their career.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed is that a lot of the guys, sorry for the repeating all this stuff for the last however many weeks, a lot of the guys age well, wide receiver, Julian Edelman, Keenan Allen, Larry Fitzgerald, heavy slot guys, and that is what Stephon Diggs is now. 52% slot rate. In his prime, he was like 25% slot rate. He is a short area slot receiver now, and I think he's really good.
I like that call a lot.
All right, guys, let's get to some emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Thank you for liking that call, which is basically Jamie's call.
That's for the course.
From John, 20-year listener. I love listening while I'm driving. Yeah, and you know, I think I responded to him. I was like, has it really been 20 years? I thought this podcast was 19 years old, but ChatGPT thinks it's 20 years old. Like, we should be having an
anniversary
party.
I need to do a history lesson.
I think we started before you in, like, 2007, which makes sense. You know, so
2007, because I started in 2009.
20 seasons.
I started in 2009.
2007, give me a little quick history lesson of FFT then. 2007 was, who was the crew on FFT?
Just me and Dave.
And you were hosting.
And what was it called, Dan? Do you know what it was called?
No.
Fantasy Football Playbook.
Ooh.
I didn't remember that.
I don't like that.
And you know what the baseball one was called?
What?
Fantasy Hit and Run, or Fantasy Baseball Hit and Run.
Okay. That one I don't like as much.
So, who was hosting, Jamie?
I think actually Dave was.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Then we realized Dave talks so much that I had to take it over.
Wow. Dave taking strays. He's not even here. Unbelievable.
All right. Here's the question. From our 20-year listener, he says, I listen while driving my kids to all their baseball and soccer practices. And that, John, is why I don't like profanity on our show. If the Cowboys' defense becomes average to above average, are you concerned with CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, and Dak Prescott? And wouldn't Javonte Williams be in line for a huge season if they run more, blah, blah, blah?
We talked about this earlier on the network show, and I think you had some really good stats to back up why that should not be a concern. And I think, ultimately speaking, I tend to lean just from football knowledge standpoint toward your side, because the reality is when you have a processor like Dak Prescott, a quarterback, and he'll never get the credit he deserves from NFL fans for how good he is at playing the quarterback position. You distribute the ball so well and you see the field so well as a quarterback that your best bet as a coordinator and an offensive play caller is to call pass. And I'll say this, Jacob Gibbs turned me on to this offseason. Brian Schottenheimer, I was not a fan of him when he was with the Jets. I was not a fan of him when he was in the Rams. He was kind of the punchline of a lot of jokes. He's really retooled everything he's done as a play caller since getting to Dallas, high in pre-snap motion, high in a lot of play action rate, things that are really cheat codes at the NFL level for producing yards and having efficient offense. And I think he has this offense humming as one of the best in the NFL, no matter how this defense plays.
You worried about it, the defense?
No. Impacting the offense? No, I'm not. I think just based on the fact that you can still be a great offense with a better defense.
Yeah,
you know, when you look at what just the Cowboys are, what the Bengals are, you know, these are two teams I think you're going to see improved defensive performances. They don't have to rely on their defense. You know, this is kind not to get too on the, you know, football fantasy versus reality, reality versus fantasy. I think like Sean Payton at times like wants to cover up Bo Nix. I know they threw the ball a lot, but it's safe throws.
Right.
And then you bring in Jalen Waddle, like, okay, now it's your three. I want to trust him a little bit more. So they'll still have a great defense, but also like last couple of years, like we don't have to do that because the defense is so great.
Right.
I think like Drake May is another one. Like you're going to start to see him open things up more. You bring in an AJ Brown. The Cowboys are already there. The Bengals are already there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why change who you are because, oh, we're going to stop people more? The Rams aren't going to stop scoring because they got Myles Garrett and potentially Aaron Donald. Like, they're still going to bludgeon you to death because they can. And I think the Cowboys will.
And that's the best example. By the way, the Rams last year had a top defense and still Stafford threw all those touchdown passes and they scored all those touchdowns. I think it gets overrated
they
a lot.
Really, though. Like, they had the 10th best defense. But the that's Broncos were what the most pass attempts in the Broncos.
The Cowboys are not getting better at 10th best.
Exactly. They're not going to have an elite defense. Right. It might be better. And there have been times in the past where they have had pretty close to an elite defense. They still throw in the ball a lot. All right. Next email is from, thank you, John, by the way. Next email is from Jim in Cleveland. You just did the draft strategy pods, which were very helpful. Thank you. I hope those are helpful. I think it was good just for me to talk it out. I'm curious how to start a three wide receiver league or how a start three wide receiver league would affect your strategy and rankings, especially at the top. Jim, I'll let Jamie answer that real quick. But just so you know, most of our drafts are three receiver leagues. But yeah, what's the answer here?
I think it's just as we discussed with the strategy pieces, where you're picking will sort of determine how you start. Because if I'm at the back end of the first round, I'm probably leaning running back or probably two running backs. As opposed to if I'm in the middle, I'm looking wide receiver because that group of four guys, I think those, any of them slip, it's easy to take them. You know, so we start to see ADP, for example, change where Taylor and McCaffrey-Taylor moving ahead of St. Brown and JSN. But I'm not going to reach for a receiver early just because it's a three receiver league. So you got to be comfortable enough to know that could Zay Flowers or Devontae Smith or T's be your number one receiver if you start running back, tight end, you know, and don't take a receiver early. I'm comfortable with that. I'm not worried about it, but I know a lot of people don't love doing that.
For me, the biggest difference is, and you, I think either Heath or you mentioned, called it the blob of wide receivers. For me, it's in this format, I'm not taking quarterback ever early. And I'm probably not taking tight end ever early. What I'm doing is, I like what Jamie said, I still want the running backs in the first two rounds, there's really value plays across the board. There's 11 or 12 running backs that are amazing this year. But then in those middle rounds, instead of taking a quarterback or a tight end in that spot, I'm just loading up on that glut of receivers, the McLaurins, the Wilsons, the McConkeys, the Jameson Williams, the Romo Dunes, like Christian Watson. I'm getting as many as I can there to not only fill out the three receivers and the flex before I get quarterback and tight end, but I may, at that point, by going running back to start, I may want a bench receiver before I even want a quarterback or a tight end.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the same thing about the quarterback and tight end thing. Like, if it's a two now, listen, there's no difference in draft strategy for me if we're talking three receivers, one flex versus two receivers, two flexes. But if it's two receivers, one flex, I'm always more likely to take a top three tight end. In this case, a top three tight end. I'll just notice I have absolutely no idea how long we've been on the air.
So well, that's okay.
I don't know when to go to break, so I'm going to try to figure that out. But let's go to our next email here. It is from Alex, and he says, hey, Clubber, Drago, Tommy Gunn, and Thunderlips.
I think I've been on this show long enough to know that these are Rocky movie characters, despite not having ever seen Rocky, so I'm going to go with that.
They are the people that Rocky fought.
Okay.
And congratulations, my 8-year-old son has now seen more Rocky movies than you.
Wow.
As of last
week. How would you rank them?
1, 2, 4, 3.
No. The opponent.
Drago,
Clubber, Tommy,
Thunderlips, Tommy Gunn.
I was just trying to randomly guess that and almost got it right.
How would you rank them?
That's just
the you gotta go Drago 1, Clubber 2. I think you have the right order.
Yeah, but now what if I throw Apollo on there? Who's 1?
If you throw Apollo in there?
Yeah, Drago or Apollo.
I would go Drago, Apollo, Clubber.
Who's Apollo?
Carl,
oh,
the guy who fights in the first two.
Oh, good God.
He's like,
why doesn't he count? Why wasn't he in?
He's Creed's dad, Apollo Creed.
Okay, you know what's funny? I saw the movie Creed with Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah,
I haven't seen Rocky, but I saw it.
It was great.
I loved it.
You gotta watch.
I know. I gotta watch Rocky.
We'll go to break after this commercial here, guys. Let's after this email.
Okay.
We'll go to break after this email. Okay, so the Rocky goes, this is a great email. I've heard the phrase running back dead zone used by other sites, but not you guys. I'm wondering if this is a concept you subscribe to. My understanding is, you know what? His understanding is not exactly right. Okay. So,
did it originate on our show from Ben?
I think Ben Gretsch is...
I actually heard Ben Gretsch talk about this lately. So Gretsch wrote the story, but Chris Towers, who he gives credit to, and I shout out Chris Towers, actually was the editor of football at the time, fantasy at the time, and he was the one who termed it the RB dead zone.
Okay.
So it was Gretsch's content, but Towers had came up with the tagline.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Yep. But yeah, no,
we do reference it quite a bit. We just don't probably use the phrase the way it should be defined.
How you guys use it as the trap backs. I think that I like that even better.
Same thing.
But it's not the same because a trap back, yes, they often fall into the RB dead zone.
Oh, but it could be anyone.
It's
right.
A point in the draft where the running backs has historically just not been very good.
Right.
I don't really care about that anymore because I was just looking, I did the exercise this morning or Friday morning before we did our Superflex podcast of looking at who the league winners, the league winning teams or runner-ups were drafting when they drafted their quarterbacks. But one thing I noticed was man, these teams, they won the league. They had a lot of crappy picks. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's just a running back dead zone. Right. Go look at rounds 4 through 6 or 7 at any position.
Right.
And there's busts all over the place. I don't know that running back is more likely to do it. But what's your understanding of
that? Well, I think it's, you can start to define what a trap, what a running back in the zone looks like, so... You can see it potentially. What you don't want is you don't want somebody who's going to fall into two of the three categories of not being involved in the passing game or being involved at the goal line.
Yes.
So if you're just kind of pigeonholed to being a first and second down guy only,
right?
You could see that path for Bucky Irving, for example. You could see maybe David Montgomery not working on passing downs. You could see Judkins and Scataboo not working on passing downs. So it's avoiding something where they're going to lose points going into it. There's a chance Montgomery may, you alluded to this on the show about, his pass catching numbers aren't reflective necessarily of who he is.
Right.
Yeah.
And people may look at that and say, oh, I don't want to touch him because we get to that 4, 5, 6, 7 range in the draft and it's, it could be bad, So it's usually, we've kind of shifted a lot because it used to be the running backs got all pushed up into that 4 through 6 range where it was 3 to 35 running backs coming off the board. Now it's kind of that's where the meat of the receivers go. And then we get to those other running backs, which tend to fall into, so Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, J.K. Dobbins, guys that are going to be in significant committees and lose a big part of what the role could be.
I think that's, I don't want to go too long, I know we're pressing time. That's the crux of the debate because I think there was a dead zone. And this is why I love fantasy football. It just evolves every year. And I know you know this, Jamie. There was a dead zone because people weren't drafting receivers in them. Now people have changed and flipped the script and they're overdrafting receivers in that range. Sure. And now this dead zone is not what it used to be.
It used to be
guys like Mike Davis and Miles Gaskin in rounds 4 and 5. You're not taking a Mike Davis or Miles Gaskin anymore.
Those are the Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt.
Right. But that's down in round 8.
And I think the other part of it is that as we're seeing this year more than ever, quarterbacks are falling more. So, you're taking those receivers that were in that 4 through 6 range and now they're going in rounds 3 through 5. And it's sort of, again, the goalposts have shifted.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think there are just aren't that many running backs that get all that many touches anymore. So naturally, more of them are going to kind of be in committees.
Sure.
So it's just, it's hard to avoid it. But if you want to take a super safe pick in round 5, take a quarterback.
So I know just from still reading Ben and following Ben, and the players he would more gravitate toward, he would rather take the hero RB approach of taking somebody early and then just take a lot of shots on Blake Corum and Kyle Monongai and Marshawn Lloyd and Jonah Cole. He would just love drafting those type of guys and then load up with receivers in the rounds 2, 3 through 8. That's just the way he always drafts.
Yes.
Guys, we'll get a break in here when we come back. Tim, J-Mac, you're up. We got Fantasy Cops later on.
Oh, nice. Finally.
Yeah, but I don't have the music.
True.
So you sing it.
I'm going to sing it. We'll be back on Fantasy Football Today.
I'm going to talk to you right now about Omaha Steaks, and this is a perfect time for me to do it because just last night, I cooked 4 Omaha Steaks for my family, and they were awesome, and we completely devoured them. And tonight, Omaha Steaks burgers and hot dogs for the family. They also have seafood and side dishes. They have so many things at Omaha Steaks. If you want affordable, easy to make, delicious food, Omaha Steaks is honestly a no-brainer. This is like having a trusted butcher and gourmet shop in your kitchen. And let me tell you about the burgers. Incredible deal here. Try a Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. This is what you're getting. 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak, each with its own unique flavor profile and texture. Again, incredible value. So try the Burger Perfection Flight from omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99, plus get $35 off with the promo code FFT. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code FFT for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
We are back with Tim. So he also listened to our pick by pick series podcast, but he's in a 14 team league.
Oof.
Half PPR. He has the third overall pick. This league goes very heavy running back early. Should I still take Ja'Marr Chase with the third pick? Or he's actually thinking about, Dan, maybe going with James Cook because he knows his league.
I don't think I can do that. 0.5 PPR. I think it's got to be Chase for me. Even though I understand what he's saying, he knows his league. It's going to go running back heavy. The way I would lean into that personally is I would take the value then at wide receiver in round two. If somebody slips like a CeeDee Lamb, it sounds like he's saying like maybe like a Lamb or something could slip to where he's taking in round two. Like you just take value. I don't think, look, if you miss on running back, even if it's a 14 team league, you could end up going the strategy that Jamie just talked about that players like Ben like to go to. And you could draft the quorums and just load up there with all those guys. And you're going to hit and find at least one of those guys due to injuries. And you can probably use the wire, not the wire, but like you need to hit on both, I guess. But listen, here's my thing. See, I talk about this a lot. We'll wrap this up quick, but like you don't need to win.
Will we?
We might. We don't need to win every single position. Like you can have the best wide receivers in flex and you to have a bad running back too.
I think the thing that we're seeing is everybody's chasing running backs.
Yes.
You can win by being different, setting yourself up. So I don't think it's going to be Lamb per se, but that's AJ Brown potentially. We've seen Drake London fall to that spot. It could be Rashi Rice. It could be Malik Neighbor, whatever, you know, receiver or group of receivers you like. And then when the draft fits, where those teams that went running back heavy early are starting to take receivers, then you just start throwing a lot of capital at the running back position. So it's not just Quorum. Again, it's some of those trap backs.
Yeah.
But one or two of those guys are going to hit or give you pockets of the season where they hit, where you're okay, and then you pivot to the next guy because you have these guys on your bench that either help you because of an injury or they start to get more momentum, start playing more. There's just lots of different ways to win. It's not always everybody in my league takes running backs. I have to take a running back. Imagine passing on Ja'Marr Chase and he does what he says he's going to do and he scores 23 touchdowns.
Right.
Like if he, like, that's a guy I want to bet on.
Yep.
You know, so I'm not passing on Ja'Marr Chase. If it was, hey, I'm debating James Cook versus St. Brown or JSN, sure, that's a much easier conversation to have.
That's fair.
There are three guys locked in that should not be touched. Yeah. Whatever order you like them, it's Gibbs, it's Bijan, and it's Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
All right. This is from J-Mac. He says, dear Trent, Sean, Brad, and Josh.
Trent Green, Brad Johnson.
I think these are quarterbacks. I think that's Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer played for
Sean King.
Sean King, great call.
Is it spelled right?
Josh. Josh. The he should have been good. No, that's Josh
Freeman.
Freeman.
There you go.
Should have been good.
He says my BIL is joining our 15-year-long league. What do you think that BIL?
Brother-in-law.
Is that easy?
That's as easy as it gets.
He's got a $100 buy-in. The issue is he's never
played. Don't you have like seven brother-in-laws?
Do I have? Yeah, I have a good amount. I have a five or six.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, my BIL, is joining our league. He's never played fantasy football, doesn't want to embarrass himself.
Okay.
I'm at a loss to give him beginner advice or a resource to use as a primer. Do we want to give him first-time fantasy football advice?
Well, he's saying
he doesn't want to do it because he wants to win or he doesn't want to do it.
No, he doesn't really know like what to do or say or where to direct him.
Hi, welcome.
But are we a little bit too advanced for a beginner?
That's
I don't
what
think
saying.
So, actually. I know someone, like a friend of mine, who had never played before, and she actually listens to the Express episodes.
Might be where it's
very
at.
Helpful.
Yeah.
So let's start with the
My approach is much different, let's say, than Jacob's approach, right? Yeah. Jacob's very stat heavy. He's great. I think anybody that's playing on an advanced level loves Jacob. I'm just using my example.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the audience of what most people play fantasy football are, and they just want to be told, who do I draft?
Yes, who do I
start? Who do I start and who do I sit? I think our show does a really good job of balancing that. you know, especially the guests we bring on. So welcome, brother.
Yeah. But this I would say, like, don't be intimidated, because you're going to get wherever you end up drafting, whatever site you use, it may make it so easy, right? You got rankings from everybody. You can just go based on the rankings.
I think the best articles to read.
Look at this comment.
The best articles to read. Read a Tiers article. Read a Tiers article. Right. That'll help you, because it'll give you good player analysis and where to draft those guys. Read our pick by pick series. That'll give you an opportunity, depending where you to understand what you're doing. And then, you know, sleepers, breakouts, busts. Obviously, listen to Beyond the Box Score if you want to get more advanced, as you know, dive down that rabbit hole where those guys are awesome.
And I'll give you just like five. I think we can just give five tips to start. Don't draft a kicker in defense until the final few rounds. Like, these are things you might need to know.
Real quick.
Don't draft a kicker defense until the final few rounds. Don't draft quarterback till late. It's maybe not the best draft. It's not a guarantee you have to do it.
Find value. Give
you
an advantage.
You don't have to draft a quarterback early.
It's going
to
give you an advantage if you just use that strategy. It's tried and true. It really is over the course of time in fantasy football. So 1-2, don't be afraid to fill out your flex before all your other starting positions. Don't feel like you have to go tight end. What else? That's 3.
We really like the top 12 running backs. If you can get 2 of them with your first 2 picks, that's great. Try to get 1 of them if you can with your first 2 picks. But not like if you have like the... Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Don't take a kicker or defense early.
If you like podcasts, listen to a podcast. Let's see what we got here. What's our next one? Sorry, I'm not in my normal setup today.
Yeah, so he's a little off.
From Jared. Rank. I'm not going to have you rank everyone, but the question is, can you rank your top 12 in half PPR? So I guess I would just ask you, based on your top 12, what would change in half PPR?
Nothing for the top 3. I think for me still, it would be Puka at 4. I have Amon Ross St. Brown at 5, JSN at 6, Taylor at 7, Chase Brown's at 8.
See, that's where I might go Cook over Chase Brown. I don't know how you feel about that in half PPR.
No, but I would put Cook at 9.
Okay.
Where I have Jenty.
We have Jenty.
Okay. Then I do a Jenty, CMC, and then
12. The right now you have Lamb.
Lamb.
Okay. All right, so barely anything changes. No. Most of our advice... It's half PPR, but we feel like it mostly translates to half PPR. I think you could make a case for Derrick Henry 12th or so.
A stronger case in half than full, yeah.
I mean, in non-PPR, you definitely could.
Yeah.
All right, this is from Matt in a town on the Jersey Shore.
Oh, Matt in a town on the Jersey Shore. Could it be Avalon? Could it be Manasquan? Could it be Belmar?
You pick.
I'll go Belmar, my favorite place on the Jersey Shore.
Hey, Jimmy, Bunk, Omar, and Lester.
Oh, come on, water characters. Get it out of here. Get it out of here. And watch the show, Adam. Give me a break. It's disgusting you haven't watched the show yet.
He wants to know if he's overthinking keeping Jahmyr Gibbs 12th overall. Hey, maybe not. Let's see. So 12 team, 3 flex, pretty deep.
Okay.
He can go Gibbs 12th overall, Rashee Rice 60th, Bajal Tuten 132nd. Mm-hmm.
I am going with Gibbs still at 12th overall. Tuten is the only other one. Rice is decent value. Great. They're all good values. I think Gibbs. You just go Gibbs.
I'm not giving Jahmyr Gibbs to anybody else, but I have the opportunity to keep him. Sorry.
And it's only 12th overall, so I mean.
This is from Marshall. Hey, Sterling, James, Ethan, and Jack.
This one, I've gotten a lot today, more than usual. Someone else.
Sterling, James, Ethan, and Jack. I don't know.
I have no idea. Oh, they're secret agents.
Of what?
James Bond.
James Bond.
Okay.
Ethan is Hunt. Born Identity.
No.
Mission Impossible?
Yeah. You know, the action movie that you don't think is
there's no Jason here.
Jason.
So that would be Jason
Bourne. Is that his worst take ever, Adam? Is that his worst take ever? Well, I wonder, because like there's that video on YouTube of like Tom Cruise doing all his own stunts, and then he says he's not an actor. Like, so that is worst take.
It's just pretty bad.
It's like proven how bad it was.
It's funny. Yeah.
It's actual proof.
I actually meant it as a compliment. Like, he's more than an action star, whereas Schwarzenegger, Stallone, these guys are mostly
don't
just
try to ease your stat your way out of this.
I mean, listen, what you don't get is Arnold became a comedian. Did a lot
Jack
of comedy.
Reacher? Is that an action? Is that a secret
Yeah,
agent?
Jack Reacher.
It's also, isn't Keanu Reeves Jack in Speed?
He is, but he's not a secret agent.
Oh, that's true. He's a police officer.
Jack Reacher's a
guy. I don't know who Sterling is. All right, with your and I don't have the chat. Usually the chat would be chiming in. With your auction strategy pod coming up, I wanted to introduce for discussion purposes the 1-2 skip a few auction strategy for this year. It is my strong opinion that Bijan and Gibbs are in a tier well beyond all the others this year. So my standard 12 team league just held our auction, 2 running backs, 2 receivers, 1 flex. I spent 70% of my budget on Bijan and Gibbs at the open of the draft. And here's how the rest of my roster shook out. Joe Burrow, Gibbs, Bijan, Parker Washington and Quentin Johnston, Colston Loveland, and the Seahawks DST, and a bunch of $1 players. So Burrow, Gibbs, Bijan, Parker Washington, Quentin Johnston, Colston Loveland, Seahawks DST.
I mean, the only thing that is questionable about his receiver, right? Yeah. Because quarterback's awesome.
Right.
Tight end should be awesome.
I like the way he did that, right? Like where he was able to get advantage to still a quarterback and tight end. Also, it's standard, it's 12 teams, but it's only start two receivers and running backs in a flex. So there's less starting position. I think this is the better league to try this in. Right. I've only once seen this tried in my auction leagues, and I'll shout out Z for doing it. And it did not work out well. He took the two most expensive running backs and one got injured. So it's really a boom or bust strategy. One injury and you're done.
Yeah, it could be tough. And
although you're gonna struggle, but it's so easy in that to do what you wouldn't want to do, except do it the right way, is handcuff.
But now
players.
I'm like not.
Oh, the Adam like, auction strategy?
I think Brian Robinson Jr. is an obvious handcuff, but I don't know about Pacheco anymore with the injury.
I'm not saying.
You kind of jinxed Pacheco for the season.
Yeah,
it feels like
you really did. You should go ahead of Gibbs. But yes, you can. But let's just say it's not the top two guys, right? Let's just say you wanted to take Taylor.
But I think that goes, he's kind of, his whole point is, only reason he's doing is he feels there's such a tier break between those.
Oh, guys. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, look, if those guys hit to what they're capable of doing, even if they just replicate what they did a year ago, they're worth 70% of your budget.
Right.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, again, your draft isn't done on draft day. You're going to pick up important.
That's his whole point in the email. Yeah. He says he's confident in his ability to play waiver wire. If he's one of those guys who bleeds the wire, I think it's a good strategy.
If one of Washington or Johnston hit, if not both, he's going to run away with the league.
Yeah.
Let me get one more break in here and we'll finish up. We got about 20, 30 minutes left in the show. So we're good here. And
we still got to rehash the tennis a little bit.
All right, that's fine.
A little more. And we need a fantasy cop. So I want to try to replicate the music and do it myself.
we have that coming up. We'll be right back on FFT. John from the Queen City.
I am Queens Boulevard. What's that from?
Probably The Wire.
No. I am Queens Boulevard.
I don't know. What is it?
Entourage. Did you watch Entourage?
I couldn't stand it.
What? What? How old were you when it came out? I was in high school. It was perfect for my time.
Yeah, I was in high school. You were in high school? I think you were in middle school.
You were college, I think.
Do you know one of the coolest things that ever happened for me with this job was I got asked to do the Jim Rome show.
Okay.
When Jim Rome was like at the peak of, before he worked for CBS. So still like, you know, everybody listened to him on the radio. And it was Jerry Ferrara and Connolly were hosting the show. So Jerry Ferrara was like, he is a big fantasy guy, big sports guy. I'm sure you guys are, you know, New Yorkers well aware. And I'm sitting in our boss's office, Peter Madden at the time. Everybody was like, leave him alone. Madden was a huge Rome guy. Leave him alone. Don't anybody bother him. You go in my office, do the spot. And I'm like, yeah, hey guys, you want to do a league? Anybody want to do a league? Like every other question, I'm like, yeah, you know, if we do a league together. So like, month goes by or so, and at this point I'm making calls to like every team. I used to call every team, like try to do interviews.
Oh yeah.
So I get a call from like a random California, and I'm like, oh, I'm out to lunch somebody. I'm like, oh, it's probably team calling me. Excuse me for a second. I get up. It's Jerry Ferrara. And he's like, hey, I got a draft coming up. You know, I really like the stuff you said. Can you give me like some tips? And then the whole, you know, year, and I think maybe the year after, I was giving him like fantasy advice.
Awesome.
Then that I got engaged. All there was a championship. I got engaged in December. He's like, hey, you got a second? I was like, oh, I just proposed to my girlfriend. So do you have a second?
Awesome. Yeah, what would Vince do? Whatever the guy's name was. What the heck? Oh.
My work league has always been a 12-man PPR league.
Oh, yeah, thank you. No, the Queen City, that's what it was. I think that's Cincinnati, by the way.
Okay.
He wants to know how your draft strategy changes in a 16-team league. Does it push up tight end and quarterback?
I mean, look, we talked about this a little bit on the CBS Sports Network, 12-team, 14-team, 18-team league. It does give you a big advantage, but you're also losing pretty badly at some of the other spots. So you got to have a very strong conviction that Bauer is going to do this, McBride is going to do this, Loveland's going to be in that range, because those are the three, right?
Right.
I think, you know, especially now that Warren's hurt and Laporta's hurt, like those guys are starting to become that middle that we get always in trouble with, especially you can see the path now.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't reach for those guys, but I would consider taking the advantage that you might get with those three.
But I'll throw this out, right? There's it's rare that you're going to go to the waiver wire and find a tight end that's going to be awesome, right? Because someone else got injured. Jake Tonjes, I think, one of the better examples.
Mayer could be.
But but running back is full of that. Maybe it's for 2 weeks at a time or something while a guy's hurt. So I don't really know where I'm going with that. I don't know what the strategy around that is. But my point is, if you know, you're going to need to do on the waiver wire to win a 16-team league, probably.
Yeah, no matter what, yeah.
You could do it at running back. I don't think you can really do it at tight end. So maybe...
I think
getting that elite tight end.
The only way you get a tight end is the route you went injury, or it's the Dalton Schultz year, the Juwan Johnson year, you know, the Hunter Henry, you know, guys that just get completely overlooked because whatever, we're all chasing the next big thing.
But they don't end up being great. They end up being fine. Like, remember how good Kenneth Gainwell was when Jalen Warren was out?
But if everybody's on your team is doing what they're supposed to do and you just waited on tight end or you got these guys off waivers, you know, that's the
way. I certainly don't think it should push up quarterback, though. The quarterback's so deep this year, I would not be doing that.
Don't chase that.
Okay. This is from MJ. Hey, Billy, James, D'Arcy, and Jimmy. A little band from Chicago.
Billy, James, D'Arcy, and Jimmy. Is it the band Chris Towers likes? What's that band name again? Wilco?
Oh, maybe.
This is a guess because I know they're from Chicago.
This is
Wilco. Did I get that
Smashing
right?
Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh,
I didn't know they were from Chicago.
Was that Smashing? I almost knew a Smashing Pumpkins song.
Some you with a smile.
There it is. I wanted to do that voice. That's really. I just wanted to do the voice. You got it.
Every time I disarm my alarm in my house, it says disarmed, and I'm like disarm. Our fantasy league is tight end premium. I put this in the notes just for you, Jamie.
Okay.
It's tight ends get 1.5 points per reception. Jamie's doing it after ended. Running backs and receivers are 1 point. How would this change your overall draft strategy?
So it's one QB league?
Yeah, James is doing super flex, but this is one QB.
In one QB, Brock Bowers and potentially Trey McBride are first round picks.
I think obviously tight ends are going to score more points. But when you play in a league like this where any position gets boosted, what you need to do is look at the tight end position and see who gets a lot of catches.
Yeah.
Because there are some, like Dallas Goedert's probably not going to get a ton of catches. But Kyle Pitts might. Whereas Kyle Pitts might not score a lot of touchdowns, you know,
right?
He's probably gonna be, if everybody plays 17 games, it'll probably be top five in catches at the position. So make sure you look at projections for catches for tight ends and know who to bump up in within the position.
On that note, real quick, the guys I would bump up are Fannin, maybe held down by touchdowns in a bad Cleveland offense, maybe a focal point targets wise. Isaiah Likely, who's been pretty much just peppered with targets so far in Giants game, may not get enough touchdowns.
Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz now with the injuries in Houston. Those are three that just stand out right away as guys in this format who are going to be better.
It's the touchdowns.
And I feel like Loveland moves down in this format.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm not sure. I think I don't
the targets could be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what to expect, man, in terms of targets. All right, last email here, and then we'll do a draft-a-thon question, and then we'll fantasy cops it.
Okay.
This is a long one, and it is from Michael Hare. And he said, I think the subject line was, the FFT Open or Draft-A-Thon inspired me.
Okay.
Said, my three-year-old daughter was diagnosed with a rare genetic condition called Rett syndrome. It affects most aspects of her life. And he sent the link if people want to read about it. And he said, her diagnosis came shortly before football season as I was gearing up for drafts. And hearing you guys talk about the FFT Open and raising money for St. Jude hit a little different than it had in the past. My wife and I decided very quickly to get involved in fundraising and spreading awareness in any way we could. I felt like one of the few things we could do to help our daughter. I felt like it was one of the things we could do to help our daughter. So I decided to try to put together my own small tournament with friends and family. I'm a bit of a fantasy degenerate, so I have a good amount of friends who play and such. I filled out 10-team leagues. Top two regular season finishers advanced to a playoff bracket that I hand-wrote and updated to social media and the league chats.
Wow.
We raised just over $800 in about 3 weeks of planning. Open entry fee so people can contribute as much or as little as they like. And keep it accessible to my fellow special needs families as this life is expensive. This year we have a sponsorship for prizes through one of the pharmaceutical companies that's heavily involved in Rett syndrome. We're expanding to 6 leagues and hope to raise $1,500. So Michael, a great use of fantasy.
Yeah, really awesome.
And
send me his email. We'll put him in.
And I'm glad that we in any way inspired you what we do with Draft-A-Thon, but it really does show what you're able to do, you know, raise 800 in just 3 weeks with no planning. Shows how cool this community is, and it shows how like people are willing to get involved. So I think you just continue to grow this, and it's going to get bigger and bigger for you guys.
It's also the human side of this for us, because like we get emails like this from time to time, And I think it just puts things in perspective. Like, we're trying to raise money for something that hits home to so many people, you know,
right.
And, you know, you and I have children, you know, you will one day, like, it's one of those things where you feel blessed.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear these stories that your kids are okay.
Yeah.
And then you like, what can I do to help somebody that is struggling or needs it, and why St. Jude is so important. And, you know, like Heath today, for example, he's in Memphis doing the draft with those guys, and yeah, just get chills.
And one thing Michael mentioned in his email was that when you have a special kid or anything like this, it's expensive for families. And that's one thing I didn't know about St. Jude until we started doing their whole mission is to not just treat the kid, the patient, but to pay for everything for the families.
That's great.
To give them housing, and pay for their transportation, so that these families don't have to spend a dollar. So if you haven't donated yet and you'd like to, tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. If you're listening to this on Saturday, you have until the end of the weekend to join an FFT Open League. We're going to close them after that. As we're speaking right now, I think we have about 35 spots left, which is amazing. So thank you for the generosity. But you can just donate whatever you want to if you don't want to be in any of the leagues. All right, we have one draft-a-thon question, and it is basically a Fantasy Cops question. So
is it time?
What was that?
Not even close.
That wasn't close? No, it was way closer. Thoughts? Who was closer?
My ears are bleeding. My ears feel like your belly yesterday.
No, nothing could be that bad.
All right, this is from Jerry. Our league is the Spatula City Dynasty League. Spatula City! Okay, amazing reference for a movie you'll never see.
What? What was that?
It's from a movie called UHF, which starred Weird Al Yankovic. We're in a very serious 12-team salary cap auction league.
Good.
Auctioned players can be contracted for up to 4 years. Each team has $110,000 to draft 15 players. After the draft, cap rises to $125,000. So it's an additional 15. It's not an additional 125. And rosters open 6 additional spots for in-season free agents. Auction-acquired players have always been purposely hard to drop because we want draft night spending decisions to matter. We currently allow 2 salary cap relieving drops per season. 1 injured auction player you can drop, and 1 auction player who just sucks you can drop. In-season free agents, the ones you do after the 15-player auction, can be added and dropped freely. Last year, one manager got crushed by injuries. He used both drops, and then he got stuck with several injured auction players. He now wants unlimited auction player drops with full salary cap relief. The league voted strongly against it. My first instinct was to kick the nominating manager out of the league in honor of Heath, but apparently that wasn't considered serious. So here's my compromise. After the 2 free drops are used, you can still drop additional auction players, but their salary stays on your cap as dead money for the rest of the season. You get the roster spot back, but not the salary relief. I think that's a great idea. But
like the NFL.
Yeah. You think this is a fair solution, or what would you do? Would you allow more drops? Again, it's 15 players that they do the auction for. Only 2 are allowed to be dropped with salary cap relief. Dan, what do you think?
I just, going to be honest, I don't like this format for a league. And fantasy is a game with a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
You're really limiting the roster flexibility. You're limiting the people's chances of competing in the league if they get an unlucky year of injuries. I understand that it's cool. It's like the NFL where, like, you know, if you have these injuries, you're kind of screwed. But I don't know if that fits our game.
There are 21 roster spots, though. And
sure.
6 of them you can add drop whoever
okay,
you want.
Okay, so they're, first off.
And how does the free agents working? You're bidding cat money to pick them up?
I think
up?
It's probably like fab.
But I don't think so because they're just each free agent.
It's a salary cap.
Cost a certain cap, an equal cap. That's my point. I think that's the point of his compromise is to say, like, we'll give you the roster spots, but now you have to spend even less on these free agents. So you're basically taking yourself out of getting any of the priority free agents. So you're just getting like the crappy guys nobody wants that are still sitting
okay,
around.
Okay, so first of all, you don't get to decide what their league is.
I know.
I never said
like
I did.
You may not.
I'm just giving my opinion.
You didn't answer the question.
What's the question?
You went straight like, I appreciate it. I just don't like the restaurant. Like, that's kind of weird. I think the fact that they all voted no to his proposal should not make you as the commissioner want to compromise to adhere to somebody's request. So there should be probably another vote of, hey, This was denied. This is my proposal now to make everybody happy. If that's voted yes, then yes. If it's voted no, then you just stay as is.
Yeah.
They like their league, man.
Do they? It seems like this one guy doesn't like it at all because he went against the rules.
No, he didn't go against the rules. He tried to change a rule, which is perfectly acceptable.
This guy. Yeah, he proposed a rule change.
All right.
Which is fine, but it got voted unanimously.
Dan, what do you think of this wall here? You know what? I'm just going to tear down the whole house.
This is a great wall. This is a cool background.
I would never get a wall like this, actually. I hate to say it, but I just don't understand how to do a league with a wall like this.
I just don't respect it, but it is what it is.
All right, here we go. Next fantasy copy.
This one I respect even less. This starting to get no. Mine was better.
It sounds like a video game.
That's how our music sounds. And this next fantasy cop.
It's not even close.
Yeah, that's how it sounds.
It's not even close.
It's pretty good.
Oh my god.
This next one. I mean, I keep seeing this, Jamie, and this bothering me every time. Hi, some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath. How many mailbags do I have to do before I get in? And Beyond the Box Scores on Mondays, do I have to do before I get in the main show? Do I have to do before I get in this?
Another year.
Another year?
Someone said Dave is doing the GameCube opening sound.
No, that was the Fantasy Cop sound.
No, I honestly
think Adam's wasn't good either, by the way.
According to
no one thinks
Gamer Eric thinks that I nailed it, basically.
Gamer Eric's always on your side.
Gamer Eric also thinks that Dan hemmed his shirt sleeves to show off his biceps.
No, it's another medium shirt, apparently.
Oh, man, I love it. Okay, where are we here? You want to read it? No,
sure.
You can read it. Go ahead.
I am in a long-time fantasy football league at work, close to 15 years. The commissioner has been the same since day one. He's a long-time friend and a coworker. He has historically released a draft order anywhere from a few days to a week or two before the draft. A week ago, I asked him when he anticipated the draft order to be released this year, and he told me, and I quote, "I'd be the last to know," and I guess that's you'd be the last to know. I thought he was joking. I only asked once. My buddy had independently asked him as well. We just found out today, and he sent the draft order to the entire league, comprised of four 12-team leagues, 3 days ago, but purposely, through his own admission, left only me and my friend off the email as a joke. Please advise.
So the guy asked, "What are you going to send the draft order out?" And he said, "You'll be the last to know." And he literally meant that, like, he made him the last to know. That's pretty messed up.
Yeah,
it's funny.
It's a good joke.
It's harmless fun, right?
It's harmless fun. It doesn't impact your strategy. You still have a few days, at least a few days, to plan your strategy out. So I'm fine with it. That's not good.
Why
did the hand movement come in?
It's like a
turntable? That wasn't a turntable.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Not really.
It's, you know, it just felt natural. It just came to me. All right, last one. Fantasy Cops from Justin. Been watching you guys since 2012. Still recall your funny stories regarding Cheapy's Pizza.
Wow.
And Adam's college stories with his SUV.
So Adam has been here for a week, right? No, less than a week.
No,
half the week.
This is day four.
Day four.
Three and a half.
I got a video from one of our coworkers walking through the office, panning down, and there's Adam's wallet on the floor without Adam near it. Now, I don't know if the video was sent to me with, like, "Hey, did you steal his wallet again?"
No.
Like I used to back in the day. Those are fun times.
You've really grown up a lot.
I can't believe so much.
No, I mean, like, if you had found my wallet 10 years ago, it'd still be hidden.
I mean, he's still watching you from 2012, and if you had found his wallet 10 years ago, it'd be the same exact wallet he has today. It's a Costanza wallet in the fullest terms of the Costanza
wallet.
Fold
it, like,
it can't fold, and it's totally worn down the leather.
I took a lot of stuff out since we slipped.
Okay, I think you felt a little shame you had to, yeah.
What were you saying? Was that it? Is that I lost my wallet? Yeah. My wallet came back and got it. Thank you, coworkers. So Joshin is from a city in California known as the Salad Bowl.
Ah, the Pacific Northwest. I don't know, Salad Bowl, California City.
Me either. We have a fantasy league going on over a decade. For years, I've been trying to make a case to get rid of kickers, but no one ever agrees. There's always those one or two guys that know the league members more than me, so when they disagree, the majority tends to listen to them.
Classic.
Please help me settle this debate and help me convince my league why it's good to get rid of kickers. I make a case saying that they really provide a competitive a competitive edge. That's what I thought, but it says really. Every week they're usually a wild card that he does think that they provide a competitive edge, but they're a wild card that tilts a team.
Oh, I see.
I mean, look, there are people that obviously love the idea of, I know how to gauge which kicker is going to be well. I know how to pick the right kicker. I'm going to take, aside from the two or three obvious ones, you know, Fairbairn and Aubrey and those guys, sure, that I'm going to, okay, this kicker's indoors, or this coach has a tendency that he's not going to go on fourth down. And, you know, especially with what kickers are doing, 60 yard plus kicks at this point, that when they're on their side of the field, on the other side of the field, they're going to have an opportunity still to score. So there are people that love it. There are obviously people that hate the randomness of it. Probably Jake Seeley is the most famous for it at this point, you know, banned kickers and his big movement that he started years ago. So if you don't like kickers, put it to a vote and get rid of kickers.
You're not going to miss them, I'll tell you that.
I mean, yeah, I'm very anti-kicker. I'm looking right now in this league. I guess this is all available. I'm just trying to see the scoring. It's so flat. I think the biggest reason to not use kickers that the scoring, the exception one or two randomly before the year, like no one could tell me last year that Jason Myers was going to be the number one scoring kicker. To be honest, they would have taken Aubrey number one. Aubrey's scoring advantage was 187 points. It's not that much different than the kicker 15 who had 134 points.
That's a huge difference. That's 50 points
over 17 games.
It's a huge difference. I mean, I think if you looked at quarterback, you could say the same thing. You probably looked at running back. I think
it's not as flat.
I don't know that I agree with that. I haven't done the studies. Like I never do kicker research like preseason or anything, but I'm sure there's some strategy. I think that if you want to do kickers, I think it kind of makes sense to take away points for misses.
If you do points for bonus, yes, you should take away points for misses, because sometimes we see leagues where, you know, it used to be, oh, 50-yard kicks, these are crazy. How are they going to, you know, we got to reward these 50-yard kicks. Right. Now it's 60-yard kicks, you know, you're seeing certain bonuses for it. So I agree with you. If you're going to give rewards, you also should take away some.
I think defense special teams is pretty random and stupid as well. My leagues are all no kickers, no defense special teams. I don't really like that either.
Yeah, I never miss it when we do a draft that doesn't have one of those defense, two positions. Yeah. Like I
just did my first draft with it.
Yeah,
with
it shows out kicker and defense. You do without it. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
I go back and check
two picks.
Yeah, but I said to him, it was like this is 18 round draft, and it was round 13. First two defenses went up board.
Now the plus side of it is this: like if you want it to be as competitive as possible, I like removing the positions. But if a lot of people tell me like I want to be watching Red Zone and my kicker's on the screen,
yeah,
I through it. So
yeah.
I totally get that. It's another player to root for.
Yeah. Well, that's it for our show.
No,
regards to tennis.
Yeah. I mean, you were pretty animated last night afterwards.
He was.
I felt very disrespected.
By what?
By you twisting my words post-game.
I wouldn't say I twisted your words post-game.
I would say
the vibe you gave me.
Twist my words. You completely misquoted me.
I would say the vibe you gave me was that you felt like you had worn down and you used your strategy perfect. And that you were going to win the rest of the games. When I was up 2-1 in the second set, and in all reality, I dominated the 3 points that led to that break, and I missed easy gimmies.
Yeah, and I did that like 7 times.
You didn't dominate those points, you just missed gimmies.
No, I dominated points and I missed gimmies. I set you, you know.
There
and,
was a lot of, really, the disrespect started when Jamie said after the first, like, oh, look, Adam kind of outplayed you in that set. That was insane to hear.
Never accept.
But that wasn't true. You thought you outplayed me in the first set?
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I said either.
I said toward the end of the first set.
That's
what I'm talking about. You can't say anything. You have to write it down.
Toward the end of the first set when he got the 2 points. So I think if you were up 4-0 or 4-1?
No, it was 3-0, 3-1, 4-1, 4-2.
So 4-1, right? Maybe 3-0. He started to play better.
He played better. I just didn't think at any point that
But that's
he,
when you started breathing heavy and sweating profusely.
I still think I played better.
Burping all over the place.
Talking about his indigestion, taking the Tums. I was finally running him around the
court. I don't agree with this either from Frank in the chat. I shouldn't have been allowed to take the Tums. And I knew this would come up on the chat at some point. What's wrong with taking Tums? I don't think that's a
supplement.
My brother, I forgot my brother said a funny thing after. He called it a PD, but he had a funny thing for the word P and E that now I forget.
No, I mean, it's fine to take that. I didn't necessarily think my strategy would end up working. I was curious. I thought there was a chance that it would have paid off.
You ran down two lobs that were incredible.
I know.
That were incredible.
Amazing.
But I do think that if you kept that up because of how it was unfolding for you,
I wouldn't be able to run those
like,
down.
So Taft, who's on our social team, right?
Yeah, I want to hear what he said.
He was, oh my God, that was impressive. Like, he was really impressed that you were able to go get
those. Those were insane gets.
And I'm just thinking, like, if you had continued to do that, you weren't, you, there was actually a third one that you didn't get.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, great shot. You
he
know,
stopped running on that one.
Yes.
He just gave up on that. It was a very, it was probably.
No, I misread the ball. I thought that ball was going out. And it was a perfect shot by you.
You also,
I was not a miss.
You also did benefit from the weather because you weren't,
without a doubt.
Sun.
Without a doubt, did I benefit
because
from the weather.
Because you were huffing and puffing.
To tell you. Without a doubt, did I benefit. But
it was
Adam,
cooler.
I still think Adam may, there may have been some discussion pregame, and I'll never know if this is true or not between you, Adam, and Dave.
About, no.
Let's get him to this fat pizza place.
No,
this is like thick. Like,
It really was, I'm the only, because like obviously Dan's better than I, there's no disputing. I really felt like if he was guest in 93 degree weather,
right,
and I was running him around the court, that there's no, that there's, I wasn't going to straight
set him. Here's what I thought.
That I thought I could wear him down.
Here's what I thought. I said this to Dave. You were going to lose the first set.
Yeah.
The fact that you got two games in the first set, I thought was pretty miraculous for you.
And I had a chance. I thought
it was your best first set ever.
But the thing
me.
That you had to do was get him exhausted in the first set.
Yeah, and I didn't.
And you didn't do it enough.
Not quite.
You didn't do it enough.
Because it wasn't hot enough. It was actually like a kind of a nice night.
It was humid. It was humid. I was
then you
soaked.
Had the Tums break.
Tums break.
Then you had us go on and play. Yep. And that gave him a chance to sit down and relax a little
wasn't
bit.
Wasn't that the same time, though?
Didn't yeah. Tums it, when they were playing, yeah.
But that was a long break when you
yeah, there was a long break. And then I had two of my best games, I thought, to start the second set. I was finally hitting the ball out.
The shots you miss in the third game of the second set, the last game we played, were easy shots. You had no business.
I know.
And that to me was like, maybe his legs are going.
No, away. That's not a legs thing. That's me not playing enough tennis and playing bad tennis.
That's the same thing. You're not.
I would miss those shots in the first set, I'm saying, but fresh in games 1-2. I'm not making those shots anymore.
But you were bad starting to get, you threw your racket. You got frustrated.
No, that I was just mad at how bad I was playing.
Frustration is frustration.
The throw I don't mind as much as I did a last slam. You never slam. You got to release. If you're going to throw the racket, you got to release it. I did. I slammed into the ground.
You both slam rackets.
Well, he always does. I usually don't. I never do. Yeah.
I just so disappointed. Like some of these easy balls. I had the whole freaking court open, and you can attest to this. The overheads were really tough.
They were tough because the lighting made it tough.
Match,
yes.
We took a few before and I couldn't see.
Neither of us could get it. Yeah.
And the balls weren't that bright to begin with. And the clay on the, like, it was like,
it was wet clay. The clay was soaking wet. When we started the match, I was like, Taff, we're really playing on this. I'm like, is this good? He's like, it's not good, but it's
good enough.
You can play. And you noticed that. I mean, Adam slipped on a point, which I wanted you to do over. You wouldn't take it. And I was worried that one of us was going to get injured in the back left. I know.
That's a good point.
And the ball was slowed down by the wet clay, which I actually think helps you. I think if we get to play this challenge on hard courts 1 year, I'm going to be in a much better position. That's personally what I think about
maybe.
This. Yeah.
What were you laughing? I didn't hear you laughing at all, but then I was watching it back a little bit. You guys, I feel like you were cracking up.
Dave's joke.
The whole, not just, I feel like there were a bunch of jokes.
Oh, well, I mean, you know me, when I get giddy, I I laugh. Some of the stuff in the chat was hysterical.
The chat's great.
I'm trying to think. Dave's joke was great. So for those who didn't hear it, Dan is just breathing so heavy. I'm like, man, he's just huffing and puffing. I don't know if this is going to last. And he goes, yeah, it's a good thing the three little pigs run around.
I had never in my life experienced anything like that last night from indigestion.
He just started burping nonstop. Yeah,
it was like involuntary. And I know I was mic'd up, so I didn't want to do it.
I heard it on the court.
It was across. I know, dude. It was crazy. I don't know what it was about, and I won't reference the restaurant again. Adam's favorite childhood restaurant, one that Jamie, I, and Dave, myself and Dave, none of us enjoyed but Adam. And I know Adam thinks I enjoyed it.
It's fine.
He had a salad. You can't mess up a salad.
You need to know the truth. During the entire meal, Dan said.
Not the entire meal. I had one comment. The first slice of mushroom was okay for Florida pizza.
Who do you believe? The entire meal, Dan was complimenting the restaurant. Dave gets in his head because Dave hates that place. And Dan completely changed his tune. Completely.
Guys, let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen listening in, let me ask you a question. I never know how to do it because I don't want to say guys anymore. You can't say it. But people listening to our show, human beings of the world, if a restaurant gives you horrific digestion, the worst you've ever had in your life by far, is that impacted in your evaluation of a restaurant?
It should be.
The food isn't just about how it goes down. It's how it settles as well.
You know what the X variable is? Remember we learned about this stuff when we were like in chemistry or whatever, in experiments? You got two people here who had the same exact food.
No, you didn't. Dave didn't even eat his food. It was so bad.
Forget about me and you. Me and you, we both had garlic rolls, mushroom pizza, chicken parm pizza.
Why did we do
fine? You were burping and farting the whole night.
Not farting.
The X variable is what, something else that you ate.
I threw up in my mouth twice during the match and had to like.
We had big donations if you would have puked all over the court.
I didn't know where to go, and like Dave Aiden was a nice place. I really didn't want to do that. That would have been terrible.
All right, we gotta go. Thanks so much for watching, listening. Have a great weekend. Last chance to get in the FFT Open, tinyurl.com/FFTDonate2026. We'll talk to you Monday on Fantasy Football Today.
Podcasts.